Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Welcome to Exploring Missions today. And we have a special guest today, Nathan, that we're looking at. We've interviewed people with this ministry several times here at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters.
Yes, Child Evangelism Fellowship.
That's exactly right. And but we've got someone today that's on the ground working, and we wanted to get that perspective of doing it really close up.
Right.
You know, close up and personal. You have those that are, not that they're not related, but they're in leadership, and they have to spend a lot of their time with executive orders. They have to spend their time organizing.
And administrative duties.
Administrative. As pastor, I had to do that. I didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
It's wonderful when somebody's gifted in that.
It is.
It frees everybody else up from not having to do it.
Praise the Lord for those that can do that. And but we also love those that are on the ground doing it up close and personal, as we call it. And so today we have with us Randy Nicholas. Randy, thank you for being with us.
Good to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're here in Nashville, and you're just a little west of us far as where you live.
That's correct. I am in West Tennessee in a little town called Humboldt, and the CEF chapter that I serve and work out of is in Jackson, Tennessee.
Jackson, Tennessee. So they serve all of West Tennessee or part of it?
My chapter serves sort of the central area, about 10 counties there in the central part of West Tennessee.
Okay. Nathan, we've talked about Child Evangelism Fellowship, how effective it is, how God has used it. But Randy, give us a little history of the ministry a little bit, as much as you can, and then we'll talk about your calling into that ministry, but also what led to that, what you were doing. We're going to make this more about that because you were serving on mission before that. But tell us a little bit about Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Okay. Child Evangelism Fellowship, the sort of the nutshell version, is we're the oldest and the largest evangelical children's ministry in the world. We go into elementary schools, community centers, neighborhoods. We still think it's valid to do the old school backyard Bible clubs. And we share the good news of the gospel with children who typically are K through fifth grade, because we believe that that's the best opportunity for them to have an open mind to the gospel and to respond. And so CEF started in 1937. By an old gentleman named J. Irvin Overholtzer, who had a conviction because no one at that time was ministering to young children. And even his own church members told him that he was doing a fool's errand to do that. But God burdened his heart. He was able to lead 14 children to Christ his first summer that he did that. And through his obedience, we're in almost every country of the world at this point. In a normal year, we'll share the gospel with 20 million children worldwide.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's from what? Now, just one man having a burden. We've talked about this several times on this program about small beginnings.
Yeah.
But God knows the end, and so that's awesome to hear that.
And, you know, he was in his 60s when he started this endeavor. And so I tell people all the time, just because you're in that senior group now doesn't mean God can't use you in a major way.
Amen.
Well, it's recently there have been, I don't know if you call them studies or if you call them just some research or whatever, but I've read recently where they're saying the most prime time of someone's life where they're most successful, most fruitful in whatever their endeavors might be, is that 60 and 70 year old age range. Instead of like retiring early and giving up, and as John Piper would say, go pick up seashells on the on the beach, right?
And watch leaves turn colors.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, change
yeah.
colors. Yeah, there's more to life than that.
Yeah, that's an ideal time to invest your life in what God is doing And he might want to start something through you even at that age. So I'm waiting to get to that age.
Well, you remember we've interviewed some couples that retired and they had income coming in. And they said, man, this is the perfect time for us to go on mission for God into a foreign country. We don't have to have a lot of overhead because the money is there coming to our. And where they went was less expensive to live than live here. And so those of you who are listening and thinking, well, I'm through, you may not be through. God may have a continued career for them. And so that's what we're excited about. But Child Evangelist, tell us a little bit about the 10 counties you work in. How many children and how many chapters and so forth?
Yes, sir. In West Tennessee, for a long time, there was just Memphis, which has what they call a metro chapter. It's sort of its own little microcosm down there. And then all the rest of West Tennessee, for a long time, fell under our purview. And so I came into the picture with CEF 7.5 years ago and was able to kind of restructure our office setting and the way we went about things. And the Lord blessed us with a lot of work in northern West Tennessee, and we were able to create a new chapter office up in Henry County in that area, and they're very much thriving and flourishing. And then COVID hit, and so what do you do when
you mean it changed everything?
Yeah, your whole purpose is to be in front of children sharing the gospel, and that was immediately taken away from us. But our chapter, to be creative, we went out into 7 different neighborhoods in the Jackson area to set up a table and hand out tracts and literature, try to pray with people who were bold enough to approach us. And so even through that period of time, we tried to stay connected to the community. And so at this point, though, when we split off that northern sort of corridor in West Tennessee, we were left with the 10 counties here in the center. In Madison County, where Jackson is the hub. On a normal year now, we reach about 800 children with the gospel. Last year, we had 53 professions of faith through our ministry. And then we're hoping to expand into some more counties. Last year, we worked in 5 different counties, and we're hoping to get more of a long-lasting footprint in some of the other counties.
Amen. Okay, you must have been reached for the Lord in your childhoods for you to have this burden.
Oh, my heavens. I wish I could say that's true, because I personally upset the apple cart for CEF and their statistical system. I didn't actually get saved until I was 21. Did not come from a really Christian family. And so I tell people that for a person who is from a common family, a little West Tennessee town of about 8,000 people, God got my attention through my church that I was attending at that time. I went on a mission trip to Romania for the first time in 2001, and the Lord just turned my whole life upside down and revealed the need to reach the nations at that point. And a couple of years later, I found myself working for the International Mission Board in Romania and the Czech Republic, and a little bit in Slovakia.
Okay, let's take a break and get this right now.
All right.
Okay, you saved at 21. You go on a mission trip, okay, after that. Nathan, how many times have we recommended people going on short-term mission trips?
It can be. We know salvation is the beginning of your call to serve missionally, whether a life on mission or maybe a specific cross-cultural missional call in your life. But salvation, when you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to a whole lot more, including willingness to be used and serve on mission. And sometimes the discovery of that specifics takes a while. And for a lot of people, the best way to discover maybe that seed, if you will, that's planted, where you see it start blooming and growing for the first time, is on a short-term mission trip. It happens so many times for so many people.
I've heard it again and again. And the opportunities in your local church, but also ministries that are part of American Family Radio Partnership, 8 Days of Hope, and so many others that we see God working in. So you go on this short-term mission trip to where?
To Romania.
Okay.
Touchdown in Bucharest, Romania in 2001, just a few months after 9/11. And the whole world was upside down at that time. And through many different experiences, it just, you know, religiously, I don't know if this is a real wonderful terminology, but it just blew my mind to see what I saw.
Now, that's not Christianese language here. Okay.
Not really.
Yeah. But it does. Romania.
Yeah.
2000, they had come out from the Iron Curtain.
Correct.
So there was some freedom in that now that had not been there for years and years and years.
Please.
And Romania, a little different than some of the communist bloc countries that we could find out in the 1980s and previously, they had some, I don't know if you'd call it underground the way China had, but they had some roots that go back to real strong Christian faith.
Absolutely. And I know, I'm sure that you all talk about Richard Wurmbrand sometimes on your program, and he's probably the most well-known pastor that was tortured
for Christ.
Absolutely. And while I eventually ended up going there full-time and living in eastern part of Romania, and I met some of those pastors who had their phones tapped and who were arrested and beaten. And it's another thing when you get there and you see people and you meet the ones who actually went through that part of it and came out on the other side still serving the Lord.
When Romania means a lot to me, although I haven't been there. I've been to Poland. Jen and I got to go to Poland. Some similarities between Poland and Romania. But one of my, and I've told you this, and Nathan, I know this, one of my greatest heroes that I've ever met in my life was from Romania, Joseph Son, and just a man of God. And he would be arrested. This is after the communist country, before it fell, that he was there. He was doing this under communism and its rule. And he would be arrested and beaten and sent home, and he'd still preach the gospel. They didn't want to kill him because he'd be a martyr. Decided they wouldn't put him into prison. So they exiled him to America. And so that's where we got to meet him. But even as his daughter, as a 12-year-old daughter, he had to teach her to be willing to be a martyr for Christ. And he said, I just want you to know, if they call me up and ask me to deny Christ or we're going to kill your daughter, he said, I'm not going to deny Christ. And said, it's not because I don't love you, but said, you know Jesus. And if they kill you, I'll see you in heaven. We'll be together. This is eternity we're talking about, not temporal. I hadn't gotten over that yet in all my life. And that was Joseph's son from Romania. And so Romania is just a stronghold. Another thing I'd say about this, if you want to see what God did in Romania during the turnover of the fall of the Iron Curtain, Chuck Colson wrote a book, Kingdoms in Conflict. And it's an awesome book. I recommend it highly. And there's a chapter there that you can read about Romania and how it was different than the other communist countries that fail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Romania, but it was so diverse. Tell us a little bit about the diversity and where you worked and what you did. But I wanted the history of Romania
sure.
to be a part of this. Like Child Evangelism Fellowship has a history. Romania mm-hmm. had that history as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Romania in ancient times was a real, how shall I say this? They called it the Paris of the East. Romania had wonderful artisans, musicians, and so forth before communism came, and were kind of a hotspot for that part of the world. And when communism came in, it just destroyed all of their culture. The communists would come in and mow down some of their structures and things, and it was very, very bad time. But when we lived there full time, we worked primarily with the Romani people, and commonly they would be called gypsies. The Romani were the largest population in Europe, lived in Romania, and they were called the Roma people. And so we developed a relationship reaching out to them. Actually, the Baptist Association that I was a part of in West Tennessee at that time created a partnership to do an outreach to the gypsy people because nobody else was doing it. And we were very successful seeing a lot of the gypsy people come to Christ, and us showing them human compassion, Christian care, because they did not get that from the nationals for the most part. But Romania is a beautiful land to this day. I mean, the land is fertile. the people are warm-natured and good people. They just lived through that communist era, and so many of them are still kind of, I don't know if backwards is the right way to say it, but they still struggle with having the confidence to step out and do things on their own.
Yeah, it's still that way because of that connection through Joseph's son. If I see anything about Romania, I want to read it and find out about that, and it's still very much that way. Another thing that you mentioned was the IMB. Now, the three of us know what the IMB is, but we have a lot of listeners saying, what in the world is those three initiatives? Is that a government agency? No, it's the International Mission Board.
That's correct.
And so which is a Southern Baptist outreach mission. Mm-hmm. And so they sent you there as an English speaking, or did you learn language there?
I'd learned some of the language, just enough to be dangerous, because we had lived there for a year and a half, and then we ended up moving with another team to the Czech Republic. So their two languages are very, very different. But when we were in Romania, we went as church planters and worked with nationals at first, and then we did some work with the Gypsy people as well to try to start small house churches in villages in the country. Very humbling experience. Some things that I've witnessed in my life, I really can't talk about it without. I heard a young man earlier talking about how it make him cry, and it's very emotional, because we, as a typical American, unless you bust out of our little bubble, you know, that 100-mile circle that we live in.
It's a pretty thick bubble, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to break out of.
Until you go and you see some of the things that you expose yourself to, like in Romania, for an example, I saw the sewer kids living in sewers under the street, kids living in caves like wild animals. And you'd go into a hospital in a small village, and maybe for the whole hospital they would have about a 2-foot shelf with medicines on it, and that's all they had for the whole town. And you would see orphans, lots and lots of orphans, that was a result of the communist years.
Yeah, during that period of time, it was horrible. It was Romania for is the children in Romania under the communist rule. Their country suffered more than any that I know about. Let's make a movement, if you don't care,
sure,
and go to the Czech Republic. And I know a lot less about the Czech Republic. It used to be Czechoslovakia, and
correct,
then they had the war, and it came the Czech Republic along with
Slovakia.
With that. And so you were in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, we lived in a place called Brno, which is the second largest city in the Czech Republic in the south. Prague is a name that a lot of people recognize as the capital. The Czech Republic, in our vernacular, they're the most atheist country in all of Europe. They are agnostic, really, in a lot of ways. And sometimes their people dabble in Eastern religions and so forth. They were jaded because of the traditional religion that they experienced in their past. And so when you come in as a Baptist missionary, it took a long time to gain their trust to be able to really be effective. And as far as their language, I'll tell you this. The first week I was there, Bert, they said, unless you're going to stay here 10 years, don't even try. And I said, well, that's not a good way to start this relationship here. But
yeah, some languages are definitely more challenging than others. I'm still challenged with English myself.
We don't want to go there. Nobody ever dreamed. When I tell folks I'm on the radio, they say, how?
Yep.
So anyway, but we appreciate that.
Yeah. So, Randy, it sounds like, and how many years totally did you serve in Eastern Europe?
I served 3 years full time, and I went on several like short term trips that led up to that. Like a lot of big organizations, we thought we were going to retire from that situation, and there was a big economic downturn right around 2009, 2010 that forced us to kind of rethink things. And you know, for a guy, I tell people all the time, if you just say yes to the Lord, I'm a guy from a little small West Tennessee town, and at this point in my life, I've had the opportunity to work with two international ministries. And I never dreamed in my life that I would have these things going on in my head and in my heart at this point.
Well, let's talk about getting back from that. You come home from the Czech Republic to West Tennessee.
Correct.
Wondering what you were going to do.
Uh-huh.
And God intervened again?
Absolutely. It's like, you know, you go from this grandiose view of your life as this epic to you find out it's a bunch of short stories that God gives you along the way.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So you get home. I started putting my resume out, looking around, and one day out of the blue, one of my Sunday school cohorts sent me an email, said, "Hey, have you ever heard of CEF?" And I said, "No, I haven't. What is CEF?" And they said, "It's an international children's ministry, and they're looking for a new director." And so I went to meet a couple of people based on that recommendation, and one thing led to another, and they hired me as their new director. And that was 7.5 years ago. And I'm thinking, I told your dad earlier, I said, you know, God must have a sense of humor, because if somebody would have told me 20 years ago I was leading a children's ministry, I'd say, no way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, in your recounting of some of your experiences in Eastern Europe, you brought up several things that really seemed to touch your heart, and they seemed to mostly revolve around children. God probably put that in you. And, is using that even today. So tell us a little bit about the numbers. Just, I think you gave us numbers at the beginning of this show. Mm-hmm. How many children are being reached through internationally around the world through Child Evangelism Fellowship?
In a typical year, Child Evangelism Fellowship will reach and share the gospel with about 20 million children. There have been years where we have recorded 9 million professions of faith out of that group. So very, very effective in what we do. It's an old ministry that's well vetted, has good materials and people who are committed. 97% of all of our people are indigenous to their own place that they work. And something that this probably won't surprise you guys, but the biggest uptick in how God is touching is in the Middle East right now. It really is. It's amazing what's going on in the Middle East.
We had on a program, the other program I do, Exploring the Word, we had Todd Nettleton on, and he was telling us about the Middle East. And of all places, Iran is where more people are coming to Christ. And a lot of it has to do that they found out, Muslims found out that Islam is a false religion. They saw what it got them, and now they're looking for the reality. And through the basis of the internet and through television, the gospel is getting to people that otherwise would have been completely closed off.
Yeah.
And Child Evangelism Fellowship is there.
Yes, yes. I really can't say who we're, where we're not, but right, almost in every country in the world.
That is so amazing.
So the E in CEF, or evangelism, some people will hear that and wonder, okay, is that all you do? Or is there more to the story? Is there some discipleship that happens as well?
Well, there definitely is some discipleship. And the way this works, if everything is according to the way we map it out, is we partner with local churches to form teams to go into schools, community centers, Boys and Girls Clubs, different places. And then we encourage, as children make professions of faith, that those churches do the discipleship and do their best to get them into their church for that long-term discipleship. And we have some supplementary materials that are good for that, but nothing like a loving church coming around that child and bringing them into the fold.
It's amazing how that's worked. Sounds like that's what Jesus set it up to do, and sounds like the Apostle Paul used that strategy, Nathan.
Yeah, that's right. There is no substitute for the local church, and we know that when maybe a local church member or a leader in a church or just someone average, ordinary Christian, where they're listening from right now, may have a burden for children in their community. What are some of the steps that they could take if they want to see CEF come to their community and begin working, maybe using them as a volunteer to do that?
Absolutely. And that's what makes us smile if we get those beautiful emails, you know, on Monday morning. If a church would like to partner with us, or better yet, if they would allow us to be just a tool to come alongside of them to work with them to develop that ministry, they can contact whoever their local CEF chapter is. If they're not sure, they can go to our national website, and there's a section there where you can search for local chapters and find out who is the closest one to your area. And that would be cefonline.net.
And repeat right that there. Again. We love to get those. Yeah, because people, I see them out there. What did he say?
It's cefonline.net.
Okay. One more thing that I want to make sure and bring up that I heard you say early on, backyard Bible clubs.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to tell you, Jan and I, my wife, we cut our teeth on some backyard Bible clubs early on in ministry at a place we started a mission. We did backyard Bible clubs there. We did them at different places, and we would go to homes. And one of my favorite stories, and I want to tell this story, someone that means the world to our family, Sylvia, Nathan, I know exactly who it is, who had a heart for children. She taught the fourth grade for years and years and years in our church. Nathan, Matthew, and Mike, our three sons, went through with her. But she had a backyard Bible club in her house, and she invited all of her neighbors. And one of the boys that was there, they were not churched at all, and Jan was showing them the Bible. And so we were talking about how important that was, how important God's Word was, you know. And Jan was asking questions about some things that we could know about God. And there was this little boy. His name was Harley. I love it. It wasn't, his last name wasn't
Davidson.
Not Davidson. It was just Harley. And Harley said, well, the God book said it. I love that. And it's still with me. And it's been 40 years and more, just about, well, 30 more years, 30. And the God book. Don't you love that?
That's awesome.
And that's the awesome. Backyard Bible clubs, and they can be a part of that through Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Absolutely. I think that, in my estimation, that is still a very valid way. Now, a lot of people are surprised when I tell them we can go into a school, but that backyard Bible club is still valid as well.
Amen. Brother, thank you for being with us. Nathan, it's been a joy.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on American Family Radio. Thank you.